text for our sermon this morning for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from the gospel reading just read, and also the context of the other readings of the body of Christ being gathered together as one body to hear the word. And from our gospel reading, this verse in particular: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and a recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've always wondered what it would be like to sit at the feet of Martin Luther to listen to one of his sermons. I wonder what it would sound like. Of course, I could probably do without the standing up, since I didn't have pews, the concrete floors, since I didn't have carpet, the cold weather, especially on days like today, because they didn't have heat nor AC. And not to mention, the sermon would probably have lasted an hour and a half to 2 hours. I wonder how great it would have been to stand and listen to a sermon by Martin Luther. How about you? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to sit at the feet of St. Matthew, St. Peter, or even to hear a sermon preached by Jesus Himself? Today, as Jesus comes into the synagogue, the reading is from Isaiah 61, and that's precisely what happens. Now, in Jesus' day, and the Jews, even you heard since the time of Nehemiah, their service, their Sabbath service, would look and sound a lot like ours. That's part of the reason how we have our services structured. We have readings from the Old Testament, a psalm, and then a male, educated male, stands up and gives a sermon. Now, of course, this is the case because they didn't have the office of the pastor in the Old Testament. But now Christ has given us the office of the pastor to do these duties with the authority of Christ, to speak with the words of Christ, to be the lips of Christ Himself. We see this with Jesus in our reading today. He reads the text from Isaiah 61, and He does a great job. And everyone, they say, marveled and spoke well of Him and what He said. Everything is fine. He says, "Today this Scripture is being fulfilled in your presence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," He said. Well, they then become a little perplexed because, well, Jesus doesn't stop His sermon. He keeps preaching. And then things sort of begin to change. I don't know if you saw that in the text, how Jesus went from hometown hero to stranger zero, that they were ready to throw off the cliff. As Jesus kept preaching, listen to how the reading changes. "When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They rose up and drove Him out of the town and brought Him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw Him off the cliff." Quite a change in perspective, and to be honest with you, I'm glad we don't have a lot of cliffs nearby. Part of the reason the people change perspective is because of Jesus' sermon. Because He references a couple of Old Testament stories, and He says, "You people are like these." Jesus uses in His sermon the story of the widow of Zarephath and the story of Naaman the leper. The widow of Zarephath, if you don't remember, is the story of a Gentile woman. It's not a Jew. A Gentile woman who's living, as you heard, during a famine. It was a famine that had lasted months. God commanded Elijah the prophet to go see her. God told Elijah to go see her because this was the way in which God was going to provide food for His prophet, for Elijah, through a non-Jewish woman, through a Gentile poor widow who only has a son. Well, Elijah finds this woman, approaches her, And he tells this old widow, he says, God is going to provide for me through you with food. And she answered, she said, as sure as your God lives, I have no food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of an oil in a jug. And now I'm here picking up sticks that I can go and make my final meal with my, for my son and myself, that we may eat it and then die. Elijah said, your oil and flour will not run out. Only make me some food first, and you will see. So she did. The widow knew she had to trust Elijah's God. She had no way to provide anything for herself nor for her son, yet she believed Elijah's word was the word of the true God, that God would provide. And this is amazing, to find this Gentile widow who must have heard about Elijah's God, and she believed. She believed that God was a living God and God would provide. She was out looking for sticks to bake her final meal. She was looking for life. And what did she find? Or I guess I should ask, what found her? True life in God's Word had found her. There was nothing about this widow that qualified her to have the prophet come to her except faith. She knew she was in need. She had nothing of her own. She was not even an Israelite. And her only life perspective, the only prospect she has for life, is that, well, she's going to starve to death. Not only her, but also her son. She is the one to whom God sends his prophet, and she believes. Despite the famine, also despite knowing that she's not a Jew. Despite knowing that she will face certain death, because she bakes her last food for the prophet. But even if that is the case, she says, I know your God lives. Your God is the God of the living. And so I know that I too will live, even if I starve. This is the first story Jesus uses in his sermon. And that's not enough. Jesus keeps going. The second story he uses is also a Gentile. Remember, he's in the synagogue preaching to Jews. The second story that causes the people to hate him is the story of Naaman the leper. As I mentioned, another Gentile, but even more than that, Naaman was a military general who attacked the Jews, who attacked Israel, who murdered and killed the people of God in battle. In fact, Naaman had a servant girl that he kidnapped from Israel, from one of his military conquests. But Naaman also had a problem, like the widow. He too was a Gentile, but Naaman also had leprosy. Now, it wasn't as if he could just go to his doctor, run down to Walgreens and get some ointment and take care of this. Leprosy was a death sentence. He had no hope of being healed, and he would likely die a miserable, painful death with his flesh just falling off. But this servant girl that he kidnapped from Israel said, Master, do you not know there is a prophet in Israel who can heal you? Well, Naaman went to Elisha the prophet, and Elisha said, go to the Jordan River and wash 7 times, and your flesh will be good as new. Elisha the prophet spoke the word of God and attached the promise of healing to water. Naaman believed. He washed 7 times, and his flesh completely healed. The word of God with the water did a miracle. Even though Naaman was an enemy of God, who treated God's people horribly, God sent Elisha the prophet to Naaman. Even though there were plenty of God's people in Israel who had leprosy, God sent His word to an unclean Gentile. Jesus used these Old Testament stories, and he preached these to the people in the synagogue that day because he's trying to tell them, look, you are no better than an old widow who has no means to provide for herself. Everything you have comes from God. In particular, Jesus is telling them from Isaiah, he says, you are the poor, you are the blind, the captives, you are the oppressed. And that is finally what upset them so much they were ready to kill Jesus. Jesus is telling them that spiritually, they're no different than a Gentile widow, nor are they any different from an enemy of God in Naaman. That they needed to be freed from a famine of righteousness. They're like the widow, facing a famine, not of food, but a famine of righteousness and goodness before God. That Jesus is calling them sinners, and they will not have it. They think they're better than the widow. Specifically, they consider themselves not in a famine of righteousness, but they are righteous before God because, well, they're a little bit better than everyone else, and also because of their genetics. They're the chosen people of God. What do they have to fear? They're not sinners. But they hate Jesus because he's preaching that he is their righteousness. They are the widow. He is the answer to all famines. Jesus is preaching what they need. They need repentance and faith. They need what Jesus has, his forgiveness. They need him not to provide oil and flour that doesn't run out, but they need him to provide the eternal bread from heaven. Jesus is the oil and the flour that never runs out, but they don't want it. They're not hungry. Jesus is also telling them that they are Naaman, that they have an illness that they cannot heal on their own. Their birthright of Jews does not heal them from their natural-born sin, from their fallen condition before God. God saved and cleansed someone who was the very enemy of God. And today Jesus is preaching to them saying, without me, you are God's enemy. But they didn't want it. They didn't want to believe that Jesus, by his word, could cleanse them. In both the widow of Zarephath and Naaman the leper, both of these people were saved by faith, but the people in the synagogue didn't believe they needed to be saved. They rejected Jesus' teaching. They rejected Jesus' teaching that they were the poor, that they were the captives and the blind. They wouldn't have it. And if you think about it, the same is with us. Are we greater than the widow at Zarephath? Are you more deserving or more clean than Naaman the leper? Take it a step further. Would you imagine yourself in the synagogue that day, and would you not reject what Jesus is preaching to you? That Jesus calls you to repentance. That there are things in your life that you need to remedy. You may think you'd love to hear Jesus preach, or St. Paul, or maybe even Martin Luther. But don't think yourself so pious you would always love what they have to say. For they and all faithful preachers of God's Word follow in the footsteps of the first pastor who we see today the congregation was willing to throw off the cliff. Because God's Word calls us all to repent. And you know, it might not always be in a sermon. It may be your parents telling you you're sinning by being disrespectful. It may be your spouse telling you you're doing something they don't like. It may be your pastor telling you you can't take communion because you refuse to repent of sins and change your life. It may be that you believe false teaching. You probably don't need a sermon to tell you that, though. You probably don't need Jesus to stand in front of you in the flesh to tell you this. Because even if he did, there's no guarantee you would agree with him. You can probably just look at your own heart. Look in the mirror of God's law. Look at your own life and probably see someone who, like those in the synagogue today, when caught in the truth, they don't answer with repentance but with wrath, with anger. Who are you to say this to me? Or someone, when confronted with the truth, turns to lies instead of confessing. We must confess that we are indeed Naaman. We are the widow of Zarephath. We are the people in the synagogue that day. For that is our heritage, our fallen flesh. But also consider that it is precisely these who Christ comes for. Did you hear his sermon? He said, "I have come to release the captives. I have come to forgive the blind and the oppressed." It is these that Christ Jesus comes for. Those who confess their sins and have a hunger for a Savior. It is these who know that the words of Isaiah are being fulfilled again and again. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That Christ Jesus speaks through his pastors. That Jesus calls us to synagogue, which in Hebrew means to gather together. It is this same Jesus who still calls us to synagogue together that he may forgive us, that he may strengthen us. And just as there are still sinners every day, there is still a Savior who comes with forgiveness that never runs out. The place where sinners gather together is the body of Christ for him to preach to them, to fulfill Isaiah. There are still widows who hunger for righteousness. Let that be us. There are still lepers who Christ comes to forgive and to heal. You are both of them. But also remember that Christ does not leave us. Today he is revealed as the one who knows what you need. As he comes to the people in the synagogue, he is talking about forgiveness and spiritual things. But also remember his stories from the Old Testament. Yes, you need forgiveness, but Jesus also knows your daily needs, your daily concerns. The widow of Zarephath, she needed groceries, and Jesus knew what she needed. God knew that Naaman was sick, and he heard his prayers. He healed him. So also God hears you. He's not just concerned with your eternal well-being, yes, but he also has his eyes on you each and every day and knows what you need. So as Naaman was washed of leprosy with the water connected to a promise of God, so you too, washed from your sins in baptism and made a member of God's people by the water. As Elijah brought food for the widow that never ran out, so too Christ brings you his body and blood to forgive you his sins, to feed you in a famine of righteousness. Christ provides all that we need. It is in this forgiveness that we are strengthened to endure this evil age. Christ won. On the cross, he showed that Our sins won't keep him dead. He showed that death won't even keep him. He showed us that there is no enemy that can hold him away and keep him from us. He was not thrown off a hill, but he was nailed to the cross and then thrown in a grave. But of course he rose. And he's won, and we'll see this victory with our own eyes, completely healed. No famine, no illness. But until then, he is still calling us to synagogue, to repent, because he knows you need what you need for your daily lives. And first and foremost, that is the gospel. He knows that you need to hear his law, right? What did we hear in the psalm today? His law revives the soul. So turn from your doubts and be careful that forgiveness and repentance doesn't become unwanted. Be sure you don't get bored with it. And when you do, repent. Turn from your doubts and hear Nehemiah's words today, our Old Testament reading. As he gathered the people together, and they read the scriptures and they gave a sense, they gave a sermon on the text. Nehemiah says, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Those words today are fulfilled in your hearing this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let that carry you. Let the Lord hold you and uphold you in His forgiveness, providing for you the oil of His righteousness, the bread of forgiveness. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.